How's everybody doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I knew you were doing well. I knew you were doing good. It's cold out there, isn't it? It's cold. What? Is it raining yet outside? No? Good. Good. All right. All right. Well, we're going to have fun today. We're going to have fun. I'm going to get you pumped up, I promise. Because we're talking about a subject that I think we all enjoy. I'm talking about how to be rich. If you missed last week, we talked about some good news and some bad news for richness. The good news is that you and I, pretty much everyone in this room, the good news is that we're rich. That's good news. It's very good news, and it's good news because the only reason we're rich, the only reason we're blessed to live in this country where, you know, even the poorest people make more than just about anybody else, is because God chose it, because God blessed us. So we're rich because God blessed us, and that's a great thing because we're blessed by God. And last week we actually did a little dance. I danced a little bit, and it was fun. But it was great news because we're rich. But also shared with you some bad news. And the bad news was that, oh yeah, by the way, we're rich. And that was bad news because, as we saw last week, as we studied some scripture, as we're rich, as we get more stuff, as we have more things that are in our lives, that, you know, the money and all that kind of stuff, it makes it more difficult for us to trust God. Because what we do is we trust our stuff more than we trust God. So last week, we actually looked at a verse that I want to share with you again today about this whole issue. About money and richness and all that kind of stuff. This is the verse we kind of looked at last week and we kind of bounced off of, all right? It says right here, it's 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 and 18. It says this, it says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment." And then this part, "Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others." So that was last week. We kind of delved through that, but we looked through all that. And basically what we learned is, last week we learned that the first step to not be rich, the first step to being rich is to learn to trust God, not our money. It's to put our faith in Him, not our money. But the truth is, it's harder than we talked about. It's harder because we like our stuff and we like our stack and we want our stack to be big. And the bigger our stack gets, the more safe we feel, the more secure we feel. And so the more we rely and trust in our stack and the less we rely and trust God. We put all our faith in our stack and we don't trust God. So last week it was kind of the primer, kind of getting you ready for how to deal with this. But today we're going to really dive into what I think God has kind of laid out as the key, as the plan to helping make sure we trust not our stack, but we trust God. And it's very simple. It's very simple. To be rich, we must be rich givers. To be rich, we must be rich givers. And I know what some of you are thinking. There it is. There it is. This is the reason I don't come to church. Right there. Right now you're looking at your girlfriend or wife or your neighbor who conned you into coming to this church at this movie theater. And you're saying, "See, I knew it. I knew it. All preachers are the same. All churches are the same. All they want is my money." Right? I've heard it. For some reason, it's a misconception out there and it exists. You guys think all I want is your money. So let me address it right at the top, right here, right now. Say it as clear as I possibly can. I hope you hear me. Ready? Listen. I don't want your money. I don't want it at all. Here's what I want. I want you to have a healthy, growing relationship with God. And because I want that, I'm going to talk about money. Because here's what I know. I know that your stuff, your money, I know my stuff, my money, can and will be the number one roadblock between me and a relationship with God if I let it. I do. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. So here's what I ask. If you've been coming for a while, you trusted me for 5 weeks to open up the Bible and talk about sex. All right? You laughed with me. You had a good time. I've gotten some feedback from some of you, and it's working. Married couples, I mean. So, if you trust me to talk about that, here's what I'm asking. I'm just asking you to let down your guard today, all right? Trust me. I do not want your money. What I want is for your relationship with God to grow. I want it to be strong, which means I have to talk about money because God talked about money. He talked about it in the Old Testament. He talked about it in the New Testament. Jesus talks about money more than he talks about prayer, heaven, and hell. Why? Because he knows it could be the number one roadblock. The number one roadblock between us and relationship with him. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. I hope you hear me. Hope we're all good. So I'm just going to ask you, can we do that today? You can just nod your head. I won't see you, so I'm pretending like everyone nodded. Fantastic. Everyone nodded. All right, so let's go. Let's dive in. Because we've talked about, if you have stuff, good for you. You're blessed. God gave you that stuff. Congratulations. It's not a bad thing. And the verse we just read, I want to go back and show you 1 Timothy 6:17. This is what it says. Listen to this. It says, their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need. Listen to this. For our enjoyment. For our enjoyment. He gives it to us for us to enjoy. So there's nothing wrong with having stuff. That's the first point. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. Here's the problem. As God blesses us with a stack, we begin to think that this stack is our stack. Let me illustrate it from a episode that actually happened. This isn't one of those preacher stories, I promise. This happened about 2 weeks ago in my house. For those of you who don't know, I have a son David who's 4 and a son John who's almost 2. Well, the almost 2-year-old was eating some rice cake treats, you know, the kind with the little, I thought it was a Pilgrim. I'm told it's a Quaker on the front. I didn't know there was a difference, but with the Quaker on the front, yes, we're crazy in our house. My son eats rice cake treats. Yeah, he's fantastic. But he was eating some rice cake treats, you know, just loving life, walking through the den, eating his little rice cake treats, just being happy. And I said, hey, John, can Daddy have a rice cake treat? No. Oh, John, come on. Can Daddy have a rice cake treat? No. Mine. I think I was watching TV or something. So I didn't really care. I really didn't. So I just kind of moved on. I didn't really want a rice cake treat. I was just trying to talk to my kid. Well, Danny hears this from the kitchen, and she comes in, you know, thinking she's helping. She comes in. She goes, John, you have to share with Daddy. At this point, I look at her, and I look back at my son, and I look at her again. I said, he has to share with me? They're mine. I bought those. I'm sharing with him. Those rice cakes belong to me. Yet he is mine. My wife's saying, no, share with Daddy. And I was like, no. And in that moment of me screaming, it kind of hit me. That's what I do to God. That's what I do when I have this stuff, which the Bible says clearly God has blessed me with, that he's the one who gave me the skills. He's the one who opened the doors. He's the one who put me in this position to have this job, to make this money, to have this stuff. But when I look at him or when I live life, I say, mine. And we all think it's really cute and silly, right? When we talk about my 2-year-old, oh, how cute. He thinks the rice cakes are his. How cute. They're not his. He didn't buy them. Daddy bought them. But what I hope is that we can take that cuteness, and we can turn it around on ourselves for a minute and kind of just get a little perspective of, wait a minute, what if? Just what if? What if I'm doing the same thing? What if I am being blessed with a good job, with talents, with abilities? What if God has blessed me with those things? And rather than being grateful, and rather than saying thank you, and rather than doing what He would have me do with His stuff, I'm acting like a 2-year-old. I'm saying, mine, mine. But that's not what we want to do today, right? That's not who we want to be. To be rich, we have to be rich givers. All right, so here's what we want to do today. I'm going to dive into it to a text. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you have your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we're going to be. We're going to start in verse 6. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at Paul giving some instructions to the church on how to give, on how to be rich givers. So we're going to unpack this a little bit, okay? It's not verse 6. It starts in verse 7. This is what it says. This is Paul talking to us. He says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Listen to this. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. All right, so we're going to unpack some principles today about giving. Principle number one is give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Now that's very important for this church, for Wellspring. All right, because we have a really passionate belief on this give cheerfully principle. All right, I said at the beginning, I don't want your money. I don't. God does. I don't. But here's the deal. At Keystone, I'm sorry. I worked at a church called Keystone for 5 years. I knew I was going to do that one day. At Wellspring. Wow. At Wellspring, we believe in giving cheerfully. We have a saying here that I want to share with you today, and we really mean it from the bottom of our hearts. We have a saying. It's no twisted arms, only willing hearts. Okay, here's what that means, all right? We're never going to get up here and try to guilt you into doing anything. All right, if you've ever been in church before, you may have seen it. You know, what they'll do is they'll throw a video up of like 3 kids sitting alone somewhere, and that, you know, and just play this really sad music, and they'll show all these kids, and they'll say, you know, we need you to work in the nursery to help these kids. No, we don't. We really don't. We want you in the nursery if God's called you to be in there and you love it. All right? Let me give you a little, I don't know if I should do this. I'm going to give you a little confession right now. You couldn't pay me enough money to work in the nursery. Okay? TJ and I talked about it. Pretty much anything below, honestly, probably college age. Just, you know, it's just no thanks. I'm good. All right? Have at it. There's someone else called to you, and it's not me. It doesn't mean I won't do it from time to time, but it means, you know, so I guess all that to say, I'm not going to ever guilt you into working in the nursery. So, phew, be feel good about that. But no, God wants us to give cheerfully. He wants us to give. He wants us to do things. He wants us to serve Him. Everything we do needs to be done out because of a relationship. How many of you guys have ever been dating somebody, and you ended up starting to do things for them because of fear of what they would do or say to you if you didn't do them? Right? Maybe you're sitting with that person right now, so you can't respond. Just wink at me if that's you. All right? Let me ask you a question. How long did that relationship last? You're probably about to end. If you haven't ended it, you're about to end it, right? A relationship with God is the same way, guys. It's the same way. He wants us to grow close to Him. He wants us to have a good time with Him. He wants us to understand Him. And He wants us to do things for Him because we want to, because we understand. We give cheerfully. So no twisted arms at Wellspring. No twisted arms. We present God's truth. We ask you to consider it. And we trust God to change your heart. Now, flip side of that. Some people use the give cheerfully thing a little too much. Well, I was going to write my check today, but I'm not sure I'm cheerful about it, so I'm just going to keep that money. You know what? I'm not always cheerful about changing my kids' diapers, but I do that. All right? So anyway, give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. But the big point there, no twisted arms here. All right, we want to present God's truth. And God's truth is way bigger than anything I could ever do to try to persuade you. So anyway, God wants us to give freely and gladly. You know why? Because he gladly gave to us. He gladly gave to us. Let's keep going. Verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. See, as we cheerfully give, we're promised in the next verse that God will generously provide for us all we need. Listen, then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. God provides for us. He wants us to be generous. Principle number 2, give generously. Give generously. Give generously. Giving generously means giving more than expected. But I don't know why. I've noticed as your stack gets bigger, the fists get tighter, and it's harder and harder to be generous. It's harder and harder to do more than expected. Even if you don't have a lot of money, for some reason, there are some of us, you know, I'm not going to say that. There are some of us who have a big problem with this. Let me ask you. I'm about to call some of you out, and I hope you're ready. Guard your toes. When you go out with friends, family, etc., and there's more than one couple at the table, more than one group of people at the table, and the check comes, which person are you? Do you get out your wallet and just throw a 10 down and kind of move on with life? Or are you the person that gets out the calculator, starts adding up, starts interrogating everybody about what they ate, what they didn't eat, and you haggle over 25 cents? Guess what? No one likes you. Okay? No one. Sorry. But here's the deal. Being generous with our stack is a great way to remind ourselves that it's not ours anyway, that it's God, which means as Christ followers, as people, you know, not everyone in the room is a Christ follower. I understand that. Some of you are just checking this thing out. You're exploring. And that's good. I want you to hear what God has to say about money. But for the Christ followers in the room, for the people who have decided, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, I'm going to serve him. You know what? We should be the most generous people on the planet because we know this stuff. We know it's true. We have God's word telling us, be generous, because I got you. I'm going to provide everything you need. Be generous. But, another question here. How many, and you got to clap because I can't see you. Clap if you ever waited tables. All right, I did too. I waited tables. Graduated from college, had a college degree, and went to wait tables. Yes. That was awesome. Anyway. For those of you who waited tables, if you waited for any amount of time, it may not be true for you, but it was certainly true for me. What was the worst time to wait tables? The worst tips you were ever going to get? It was Sunday afternoon, wasn't it? It was Sunday right after church. It was for me. I mean, I'm talking terrible tips. I'm talking like 5% tips, you know? I'm talking about like people are like, I just leave a dollar for every person at the table. Good, then you're going to have your food spit in. But I don't know why that is. We should be the most generous, but we weren't. And side note, let me just give you a little help from my perspective. If you're wondering what's generous to a waiter or a waitress, 20% is the bare minimum to be generous. I'm just telling you. 15, don't cut it. That's not generous. 15 is what is expected. 20%, there you go. There's your word for the day. 20%, bare minimum if you actually want to be generous with your server. I'm a horrible tipper. I give 20% even if they forget my food. I don't know why, but I do. But here's the deal. How many of you guys waiting tables ever had this happen? And seriously, if any of you ever do this, if I ever find out anybody does this, I'll hunt you down and I might punch you in the face. I'm just telling you right now, I really might punch you in the face. They leave the church literature in lieu of a tip. You ever seen that? Seriously, punch in face. I'm not kidding. And if I can't find you, I have friends who will. All right, do not do it. Just do not do it. It makes me so mad. Now, flip side of that, If you want to go out there and you want to be nice to your servant, invite them to church, and you want to leave like a 25% tip, now that's generous. That's the way to do it, okay? Seriously, don't leave one of our cards. Y'all think I'm kidding. Now, if you want to leave a killer tip and leave one of our cards, very, very in favor of that. But we're generous, all right? God calls us to give generously because he gave to us generously. Guys, he gave his son. He gave his son. Give generously. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Here's the key. For God, listen to this. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. It was an agrarian culture. God provides everything. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. So that we can always give. Principle number three, give faithfully. Give faithfully. Giving isn't always easy. Sometimes it's scary, sometimes it even hurts. But that's where faith comes in. Because the only way for us to remember that this stack we have is God's and not ours is for there to be times when we have to rely on him because our stack's down to here. And we have to rely on him to provide rather than our stack to provide. Now see, as we give, we learn to be generous. As we give, we learn to be happy about it. As we give, our faith increases. There's a point I skipped at the very beginning of the passage. I want to go back to it now and kind of bring this all home. At the very beginning of the passage, Paul said this. He said, yes, each of you must decide in your heart how much to give. Verse 7. You must decide in your heart how much to give. So the principle here that we're going to kind of expand for a minute is we're called to give intentionally. We give intentionally. We should decide in our hearts how much to give. We're supposed to think about it. We're supposed to pray about it. We're supposed to wrestle with it. We're supposed to decide and then give. So how do we give? How do we give intentionally? How do we know how much to give? I believe God laid out a plan in Scripture for Christ's followers for how much we are supposed to give. All right, we follow God's design. It's called the tithe. And it's what I believe we are called to give. All right? The tithe is mentioned in the Old Testament and New Testament. Just read you one passage here from Leviticus 27:30. This is what it says. One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. See, the tithe, the reason God designed it, the reason he implemented it in the world, isn't because he needs our stuff. It's because he knows that we're going to trust our stuff. It's because he knows that as our stack grows, we're going to trust it more in our relationship with him will be diminished. So he said, here, I got a great idea. The first 10% of all you have, it's mine. Give it to me. Give it to me. And I'll take care of the rest. I'll take care of the rest. One-tenth of our stuff, he wants us to give back. One-tenth of our income, he wants us to give back to him. And actually, if you read that passage, we actually don't give a tithe. We bring a tithe because according to the Bible, it's not ours anyway. That's what they just said. It said one-tenth of the produce of the land belongs to the Lord. So one-tenth of your income belongs to God. And what he asks you to do is to bring it to him. Let's keep going. Malachi 3:10. This is what it says. Okay? It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. So here I am. You know, I have this job, and I make this money, and God's telling me 10% of that is mine. 10% of that belongs to me. I need you to bring it. And he says, bring it to the storehouse. This is an Old Testament reference. In the storehouse, it was part of the temple, which is where God's people met. We don't have a direct correlation to the storehouse in the New Testament. We don't. Because in the Old Testament, I'm going to bore you for a minute. In the Old Testament, in the temple, that's literally where God's presence dwelt. Well, here's a great thing. When Jesus came down, conquered sin and death, whatever, broke the veil, allowed us to have a relationship with God, guess what happened? Now God doesn't live in a temple. He lives in us. Okay? But God's people still come together in a church. So I believe with all my heart, God is calling us to bring our tithe, our 10%, to your local church. And here's why. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. We're going to finish the verse. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. Just like the Old Testament temple, the New Testament church runs off of the tithe. It does. It runs off of your tithes. Whether you've thought about it or figured it out or not, your tithe, what God has blessed you with, 10% of that, that he's calling you to bring back to if this is the place you would call your church, he's calling you to bring it here. And that money, yes, is to be used to run this church. Things like paying the rent on this movie theater. Paying for us to do the community events you've seen us do. The gas for groceries event. But here's the key. I told you before, and I'm going to say it again. I personally, I'm not asking for your money. I don't want your money. Because I trust God. I trust God to provide. All right? And he has and he will continue. Just 2 weeks ago, just to show you how God can provide. 2 weeks ago, I got a call from a local pastor in Myrtle Beach. Okay? His church is probably 3 miles from here, 4 miles from here, max. Okay? They're a growing church. Actually considering starting another site kind of like this. Okay? So they should be my competition, right? He calls me up and says, Trey, here's what we want to do for you. I have X amount of dollars I can give you this year, and we want to give you some money every month next year. I'm not talking about a little bit either. I'm talking about a lot. Because we believe in what God's doing in you. We have it. And we want to be generous with you. I tell you that to say, I'm not up here today preaching this because I need your money. God's going to provide. God is going to accomplish his will in Myrtle Beach. The question is, are you going to be a part of it or not? Are you going to live your life in obedience to him and experience the freedom and the blessing that comes with surrendering the biggest part, the biggest piece that we all struggle with to God? Or are we going to continue to hold on? Because here's what I know. Here's what I know. When we begin to tithe, we learn how to put God first. It increases our faith in him. Because when we begin to embrace the tithe, everything else changes. You know, the Bible actually teaches that the purpose of the tithe, the reason God created the tithe, is to teach us to put him first in our lives. And the biggest problem that we've been discussing over the past 2 weeks is that we don't put God first. And you know, I want to look at it this way. Let's look at it with some pie. All right, let's say you have this pie, and this pie signifies, you know,
your stuff. It signifies what you make in a month, all right? And what most of us do is we handle our finances this way, all right? We have our pie, and you know, we think about, well, first we have, you know, we have a house payment to make. So let's go ahead and let's cut that piece of pie out. It's a big piece of pie because we have a good-looking house, but you know, it's okay because you know, we got a great interest rate, and you know, people like us more now that we have this house. So let's cut that out. Okay, we'll put that over there. That's a really big piece of our pie, but it doesn't stop there. You know, we have a car. Some of us even have, you know, two cars. So you know, we got to make that payment, but hey, you know, we got a great deal on the car, and people really like us in that car. It looks really good. So you know, we'll go ahead and put that piece of pie right there. And, you know, then you start thinking about if you have kids. Wow, that's a piece of the pie right there. That's a pretty substantial piece, you know, because you got braces and you got soccer practice, and you know, maybe you have teenagers and they eat a lot. But that's a pretty big piece of pie. So you gotta get that there. And then, you know, you gotta think about yourself. You know, you wanna do some shopping, maybe need some new clothes, maybe wanna go out to eat, you know. I mean, that takes money. You know, all this takes money. So let's cut that piece out and go ahead and divvy that out over there. And you know, but we're not done. We paid for the house, but you know, we got to live in it. So you know, we got groceries, we got utility bills, and all that kind of stuff. So let's cut that piece of pie out, and you know, and divvy that out to where it goes. And you know, we've still got this other piece of the pie. You know, we've got, you know, maybe we want to go on vacation, or maybe we got some plans and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, man, we divvy that up, and man, we just, you know, we parcel out that piece of pie as well. And then we come, you know, to the end of the month, and we think, uh-oh, I forgot about God. I'm supposed to give Him some of my pie. So what we do is we scrape the bottom of the barrel. We try to get these last little scraps, and we give our leftovers to God. We give Him basically what's left. And that is in no way how to be rich. Okay, now let's take a look at God's plan, at the way God's designed it to work with the stuff He blesses us with. This design that we tie, this design that we give first. So here's our pie. Here's the pie we've been blessed with for the month. So here's what we're gonna do, okay? Very first thing, all right? We're gonna cut into our pie, all right? We're gonna find about 10%, okay? 10% of our pie. All right, we're gonna cut that out. And we're going to give it to God. The first 10% we give to God. And I want you to see what happens. I want you to see what's left. We now have 90% of our pie, 90% of our stuff that we now have prioritized around this 10%. By giving first, by putting God first, we've made God the centerpiece of our lives. And we now rely on Him and ask Him to bless and ask Him to lead us to spend the other 90. Now here's the deal. It takes faith to give like this. It takes faith to give first. It doesn't take any faith to give leftovers. When we do it this way, when we build our lives around God, all right, we're trusting Him and not our stuff. Now here's the crazy part. I believe with all my heart, that 90% dedicated to God, trusting in God, and blessed by God, goes further than 100% of our pie without God's hand on it. And here's why. I want to show you what God says in His Word, all right? Malachi 3:10 that we just read earlier talked about bringing the tithes into the storehouse. But I want you to see how it ends. Listen to what God says. Listen to what He says. He says, if you do, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, listen to this, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. See, God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to put our faith in Him with our stuff. And when we do, He is ready and willing to pour out His blessings on us. That's how to be rich. And it's because God wants you to trust Him. He wants to build a relationship with you. He wants to prove Himself to you that He is a better manager of your stuff than you are, because He's the creator of it anyway. And, you know, here at Wellspring, we kind of started we got to thinking about that statement. We got to thinking about, test me in this. So here's what we want to do. We want to take God up on His offer, because we know that when we live a life devoted to God and we honor God with our stuff, He comes through. So here's what we're going to do. Starting this week, we're issuing a 3-month tithe challenge. And it's very simple. What we're doing is we're challenging you to spend the next 3 months honoring God with your money. For the next 3 months, at the beginning of the month when you have your pie, we want you to cut out the 10% first. We want you to give first. We want you to tithe to the local church first for the next 3 months. And here's the deal. At the end of that 3-month period, if you don't believe that God has come through on His side of the bargain, if you don't feel blessed, if it hasn't worked for you, if you say, you know what, this tithe thing didn't work for me, I don't believe in it, it didn't work, I hate it, here's what we'll do. We'll give your money back. That's how strongly we believe in God's Word. That's how strongly we believe in what God wants to do in your heart. Because I can't stress enough, it's not about your money. We don't want your money. We want you to trust God. We want your relationship with Him to grow. We want your relationship to Him to transform your life. So I encourage you, take the 3-month tithe challenge. Try it out for 3 months and watch God change your life. What do you have to lose? I'm going to eat some pie.
Uh-oh. How many of you think I'm kidding, by the way? Anybody think I'm kidding? We're dead serious. Dead serious. Because that's how much we believe. Tithe challenge. It's an open offer. It's not something you have to decide today. It's an open invitation. It's probably something we're going to have at Wellspring for a very long time. Because it's about you taking a step of faith and trusting God with His stuff. So today you can sign up right now. If you have your connection card, all you have to do is on the back of your connection card, just write Tithe Challenge. And we'll know you're signed up and we'll be praying along with you. If you want to think about it, you can go to our website this week. It's going to be up on the website. You can sign up for it. And I'm not kidding. If you don't think God comes through after 3 months, let us know. We'll give it back. We'll give your money back. Because here's what I know. Here's what I know. God's going to come through because He always has. I've been following this in my life, pretty much since I can remember. I was taught it by my parents. And I can't tell you the number of months where on paper, I have no clue how we paid the bills. My wife doesn't either. But we gave first. We trusted God with the rest. And I have a peace in my heart about money that I long for each of you to have. It is my prayer that you begin to understand that it's not about your stack. It's not about your stuff. It's about trusting God. And that's how you become rich. Rich in the things that He has designed you to be rich in. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much, Father, for this opportunity we've had today. Lord, to come and hear from you. Father, I just ask right now that you just move in our hearts just remind the people in the room, remind the skeptics, Father, that you have blessed them and you are just dying to let them know how much you love them and the plan you have, not only for their life, not only for their kids, not only for their work, but for their money, for their stuff. Father, break our hearts today. Bring us home. Point us to you. Teach us to trust you with our stuff. Teach us how to be rich, Father. In your name we pray.